Hello, Sendai!
外国語情報番組多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は仙台観光国際協会センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語でトピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当はニュージーランド出身のペイジと
アメリカ出身のタイラです。
今月のテーマはオンライン活動と就職体験談です。今日は英語でお送りいたします。Welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month, Cynthia broadcasts useful information for daily life and various other topics in English, Chinese, Korean, and Easy Japanese to residents of Sendai. This month's host is Paige from New Zealand, and joining me today is
Tyler from America.
The theme for this month is online activities and job experiences in Japan.Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, we've all become more acquainted with our screens for both socializing, studying, and working from home. While in-person social activities have been dampened, we've been witness to the swift shift in life to almost completely online. While there are drawbacks, it also has resulted in some positives, mainly for the flexibility to work remotely from anywhere at any time. How did you feel at first about this change to everything being online?
Well, I've always been kind of an online sort of person. I mean, ever since I was younger, I mean, I played a good amount of video games. You oftentimes have to interact with people solely through voice communication or text. So I would say I was a little bit more used to that, maybe than the average person. This kind of paradigm shift, I guess, to just about everything being online without a chance to really meet people face to face was a little bit of a shock.For instance, interpretation. Normally, if I need to interpret for somebody, I'm sitting right in front of them, I can hear them very clearly. There's no sort of technical issues or lag or anything like that that you might have to worry about in real life. But when you get to that in the virtual world, there's all sorts of little technical problems and little strange things that happen, which makes the experience a little bit strange. So that's taken some getting used to.
Yes, lag is something that maybe we all struggle with and we're waiting for the next thing to come, or maybe some of the sentence has dropped out, so you can't adequately interpret something because you've only heard half of what the other person has said. At least for us, the change to professional development and lectures that were held online, I think it's been a blessing and a curse because in one aspect it means that we can learn at work and we don't have to travel, so we're not losing time to commuting to somewhere and we can just focus sort of in our own space, so it's much easier to focus. On the flip side, it also means that after the event you can't interact with all the other people and maybe share ideas.
Yeah, and then just from a network perspective as well, normally when you go to these sorts of meetings, actually participate, you can meet people and really kind of brainstorm about new ideas. It's a lot easier to do in that sort of situation. Like you said, doing it online, you're able to relax. You can even go and review the lectures afterwards. A lot of times they might put them up on YouTube, which is nice. Since these past 2 years have been so difficult and kind of made that impossible, I have come to appreciate just how nice it is to actually meet people face to face. So hopefully this year or the next, I'll be able to do that.
Speaking of improvement, are there any areas that you would like to improve upon?
Well, I guess it'd probably be easier, like I was saying, if you could get people's information a little bit easier. Because oftentimes anything you're able to see is kind of like this little screen name that they might type in, or whether or not they actually introduce themselves. You might be able to hear where they're from or what their name is, but it's not really the same as being able to ask for their information or for their business card, for instance, in order to really get to know these people. They're just kind of a name on the screen. And I always thought that was a little bit difficult. You know, if you were put into like one of those breakaway sessions, during these meetings, they might split people up into groups. And in that case, you can actually speak and talk with people. But normally, if there's 100 people in a room, you can't really speak up or talk to the person next to you or anything like that. You're pretty much just locked in a box and you can't really do anything. You know, because as soon as you leave the meeting, that's pretty much it. You can't really chat with people afterwards or anything like that. So if they had some sort of functionality like that where you actually had to enter in like your information or there was somebody to access it, that would be pretty nice, at least from like a work kind of networking perspective.
Yeah, kind of like maybe like a digital business card. You could have like an option where you say, send my details to every member and it sends all your details. So maybe for me, that's what I'd like to improve on, like having like just a little bit more time. And as you said, having other people's information so that you can contact them after would be really helpful. So what kind of online activities have you enjoyed the most? And are there any that you'd like to try in the future?
Well, one of the online activities I actually did as part of work was a calligraphy kind of class. And I actually participated as a teacher, kind of a person who was learning. So that really stuck with me. It was actually, I think, when the coronavirus was first really getting started. And it, I think it was maybe my first online kind of course that I was actually helping out with. And that really stuck with me. I could see the usefulness of it. Even if people can't meet, you can at least talk and give some good information and perspectives to people, and they can go back and review it. And it was just fun too. I mean, I had an actual person who was a teacher of calligraphy come in and kind of showed me the ropes. But I at least know that I, as a kind of a teacher participant, learning something new, it does give you some opportunities to really kind of polish your skills.
And it's a kind of interesting cultural experience as well for both you and for all of the other people who are participating. For me personally, I'm quite interested in the African virtual tours. So they have safari tours where they have tour guides who have been affected by the pandemic, and they would usually take like a big carload of tourists and go through national reserves in Africa, but now they just go alone and they have 360 degree camera or something like that, and you can kind of go on a safari from home. It's not the same, but also I think from a perspective of travel emissions and eco-friendliness, maybe it is actually better to participate online than actually going and visiting the animals themselves, even though I'd really love to see some wild cats.
It's actually pretty amazing nowadays. Yeah. Even on YouTube, I think they have that 360 degree option, or these VR options.
Definitely something to look out for if you're wanting to try something new. Is there anything that you struggle with online meetings, or have you had any mistakes or slip ups? I'm sure we've all had the accidental wrong filter. Have you had any of these, Tyler?
Oh yeah, sure. Once you want to try to start talking or ask a question and you forget to unmute yourself. I'm sure everyone's probably done this. Or, you know, you're asking a question by typing or something and you make a mistake. Oftentimes, if I have to do it in Japanese, for instance, I said, oh, geez, you know, I got to make sure I don't make any grammar mistakes. Or, you know, these, especially on Zoom, you know, the backgrounds that they have that are kind of automatically generated. Sometimes if I'm wearing like a white shirt, then I'll like fade into the background, like camouflage, and it's just, I've had all sorts of weird things happen. So, I mean, everyone kind of laughs or whatever, and oh yeah, I know I've had that happen too, but it is kind of frustrating sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, especially if accidentally speaking, if you had a really good answer that you answered on the fly, but you just can't reproduce it the second time round would be rather frustrating. And now we'll move on to our next topic for this month, which is job hunting experiences and work experience. So in Japan, it's common for university students to start looking for potential jobs in their third year of university. You'll often see people year-round in minimalist suits, which have since come to be known as recruit suits, which are now the standard uniform for those who are attending company information sessions and job interviews. So have you ever attended one of these information sessions before?
No, I actually haven't yet. When I'm looking for my next job, I would assume that I'd probably have to go to quite a few of them. That's probably, you know, a year out from now. I'll probably have to start looking for a job and attending these sessions. But I don't really know if we have anything quite in the same vein in America where you would actually go to a place to get information before actually being hired. They would have orientations, obviously, and well, these kind of like informational sessions that you go there just to get a feel for the company and the job. I haven't been to one, but I would like to at least go sometime just to try to kind of get a feel for what it's like.
Mm-hmm. So by attending these information sessions, you can find out more about the company, such as what kind of work they focus on and workplace atmosphere. However, you will not know the kind of work you'll be able to do upon entering. If possible, it's always good to talk to one of the workers of the companies to find out their experience directly. And after attending an information session, you can decide that you are interested in this company, you can take their exam, and then have an interview with the companies if you pass the screening. Recently, there's been a big change to the style of job hunting due to the pandemic, and many companies have switched to holding interviews online. So there are definitely a lot of things that need to be prepared in advance. So what are some of these things that we need to be prepared for in the new era of online job hunting? So first and most importantly is a very secure a strong internet connection, because you don't want to be dropping out of your interview midway through or have your voice cut out and give a very wrong answer and potentially upset the person who is interviewing you. It's also good to be ready at least 30 minutes in advance. So next is being prepared for any questions about your CV and things that stand out is also a good idea. Lastly is knowing the answers to basic questions generally about the company. It pays to do some research into the company's website and other interviewees' experiences online. If you're still at university, you can also visit the Career Center and have them check your prepared answers to make sure that you have the best chances of leaving a good impression. Make sure that you're able to explain how much you've learned over your studies to the panel during the interview process. Definitely be confident and proud of your studies and how far you've come through university. It definitely does leave a good impression.
That's a good point to make.
And next is some advice on things that are useful when it comes to job hunting. So university circles and clubs can be of great help. The more people in the circle, the more people you can ask about their experiences and advice when the chance arises. If you have any additional qualifications, these can also come in handy. Maybe non-native English speakers, TOEIC is a good qualification to have, and for non-native Japanese speakers, there is the JLPT and the Business Japanese exam. There's also bookkeeping qualifications that you can take. These can also work in your favor as they serve as proof of your abilities when looking to stand out from other applicants.
Even if you're not necessarily going to be translating or interpreting or anything in the job, even just have to get on the off chance that whatever company you go to has to have some interactions with some foreigners, if you're a person they can look at and say, well, this person can at least do a little bit of English. It always looks good on the resume. Even in America, if you can speak something other than English, oftentimes it's Spanish. If you have anything like that, even if it's not necessarily just with language, I notice in Japan they oftentimes really concentrate on these qualifications. And even if it's just like a driver's license, like I can drive a manual or something, they always put that on there as well. So just make sure you try to get whatever qualifications you can. It'll certainly help out and help kind of give you that career boost.
Definitely some good advice there. Having experience with part-time jobs can also be great when looking for another job. I was once told that it's best not to talk too much about these experiences at the interview, but it's likely that the interviewer may ask you about your experiences at any previous jobs as they see value in this work experience. If you don't have anything to list on your CV, you may be asked about something successful that you've managed to undertake in the past. So it's good for you to have a good answer about how you managed to pull it off, prepared in advance.
Yeah, and even as far as the part-time job thing, a lot of times they will ask you, did you have problems with a customer? Or did you run into a problem in your job? And how did you deal with it? They want to look for a person who is able to handle multiple situations and be able to act appropriately and quickly and be able to solve the problem. So even if it's just working at a convenience store, or if you're working in an izakaya or something, everybody has problems and everyone will deal with those problems differently. You know, you probably don't want to necessarily talk about that entirely and just concentrate on that, but certainly the questions may come up.
And for some final advice, I'm sure that many people are filled with feelings of anxiety when starting the search for a new job. So if you're feeling a little bit lost, it's always good to reach out to someone who can maybe help. If you're completely lost on what to do, it's best to go and talk with a career center of your university or with a career recruiting agent company, because they are there to help. So that marks the end of today's broadcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll tune in again next time.